I want to speak with you about the Torah portion and the relevance of these long passages about sacrifices and things like that. You know, and I'm speaking about generally about the book of Numbers has passages like this. So it's not specifically, Dave already alluded, talked some about one of the most important dimensions in our Torah service, and that is a certain flexibility with the halakha and how God will reserve the right for himself to change his mind and do things a little bit differently and adapt to the current circumstance. But I want to speak with you this morning about the entire system of sacrifices that are offered in the Torah, and it's a huge subject and worthy of many talks, but I want to talk about one aspect, and that is the meaning of all those lengthy and, from our vantage point, living so long afterwards, very tedious and detailed information about animals being sacrificed, drinks being poured out, et cetera, the whole complex. And here's the point I want to make. I'm going to give it to you up front, and it is this. Get into the habit of giving. Get into the habit of giving. Now, how does this arise from, as we reflect on this entire complex of detailed information found in Leviticus, and then again in the book we've been in Numbers. And it's very hard because we don't live in a world that's quite like their world. Our animals, we have pets, but this was an agrarian society. This is a society where animals and were just commonplace, and where in the societies round about, the idea of offering sacrifice to their pagan deities in many cases, but nonetheless, this concept of offering sacrifice to the real God was prominent and understood, but we are very detached from it. I think about the fact that, you know, Sue and I read the Daily Devar most every day, and I hope you will too. I want to tell you, there's a lot of value to reading through the entire scripture over a couple of years. It's set up for 2 years, because you're reminded of things that are so easily forgotten, but yet which are important if you just are very selective about your reading. So it has tremendous value at that level. But I know when we come up to those long, extended passages of sacrifices, it's so easy to tune out. And I just offer this as a recommendation. Don't feel you have to study and read every word. Skim and get the basic idea if you just don't have the patience or inclination to read all that, but at least you'll be exposed to something which is not part of our experience and yet is filled with lessons. And the lesson I want to suggest to you has to do with cultivating a life of giving. That's what we're talking about today. So the idea in the sacrificial system was to make a sacrifice of something that you'd value, because back then, there were no bank accounts. Your value in terms of your material success and beyond material success, your sheer survival, I mean not starving, and your kids not starving, had a lot to do with the animals that you own. But God said, I want you to give me from that. And I believe that he's cultivating in Israel and us this philosophy, not philosophy, that's too cold a term, this way of being where giving is built into the system, sacrificing something that's important. So I'll tell you a story. And I don't generally like to tell stories about our experience because, I don't know, somehow, you know, that can come across as self-aggrandizing or something. And I don't like that. I don't like that. We're all in the same boat together. But something did happen the other day that I wanted to tell you about. And that is that Sue and I were driving back from the UMJC conference. We took the auto train from Orlando, Florida to Virginia. And from there, we were driving home. And we stopped for lunch in at a place in New York, and we went for lunch, and we went to a Chick-fil-A, which I don't know if I've ever been to Chick-fil-A, but anyhow, there wasn't. Oh, Chipotle! It wasn't Chick-fil-A. What am I saying? Chipotle. That's right. Thank you, Sue. I need you to. I'm not a great detail guy, so feel free to call out and you know. Okay, yeah, you will. I know you will. So anyhow, there we were at Chipotle. I don't recall ever being there before. And we sat down to have a salad. And a young man came up to us and said, do you have any money? And not an uncommon thing to experience in a city, and we were in a city. And so I reached for my wallet, and I was going to give him a few bucks. And I said to him, not for drugs, man. And Sue said, why don't you just take him to lunch? And so I thought, yeah, that's great. So we walked on to the end of the line where salads and other tacos and whatnot would be made. And we started to talk. And he said I had been a dishwasher. He says he was a dishwasher and he had a sister. I couldn't make out everything he said. It was actually a little difficult. And then I noticed that he had a clubbed hand. So he had a real difficult thing to live with. He said, but he had been a dishwasher. And he's online getting his food. And then a little while later, I checked with him, do you have enough money? And he said, yeah, I've got enough money. And then right after that, another young man who had been sitting there came up to me, it was mostly me, anyhow, he said, and I quote, that was the nicest thing I have ever seen. That's an exact quote. Now, frankly, in the moment, I was, thank you, that was very nice to say. I didn't feel like it was any huge deal, to be quite honest. Just treated a guy to lunch. And it turned out to be a guy who, I don't know a thing about him, but he didn't get drugs, and he had lunch, and he seemed like an earnest person. It was not a big deal, but it's amazing the effect of just cultivating an attitude of giving, which in this particular case we exercised. And really, in my own life, it goes back. I remember being at our very first congregation. It was a church in Ithaca, New York, where we were in undergrad school. And I remember they had this thing where they would pass around a plate, you know, a common convention. And I just would empty my wallet, just empty it of any bills that were in there. Now, that wasn't much, believe me. And it wasn't a huge sacrifice because when you're in college, you flash your meal card in the cafeteria and you're okay. It's different than later on when you have all kinds of expenses to make and it's not quite so easy. But still, we just cultivated this attitude. And frankly, for the past 50 plus years, we have always tried to be faithful in terms of giving to the congregation here, and et cetera. And all of that is difficult nowadays for folks because of creeping inflation. Do you know what I mean by that? It means you can't believe how much eggs cost. Have you noticed that? Right? Or milk, or, you know, bread, anything. And that has to do with just the value of every individual dollar worth less, so therefore it takes more of them to buy things. And it's a complicated problem, but it just shows us that this Torah mentality of taking something valuable to you and giving it to God, although there are many elements, many symbols inherent in that act, like those sacrifices ultimately point to the quintessential sacrifice, Yeshua, right? But we're not talking about that particular thing. We're talking about an approach to life which says, I am so thankful for the privileges extended to me and to you and to all of us that I am going to cultivate a generous spirit, even to the point of allowing an element of insecurity because it's got to cost you something. It's really very important. And in Jewish thinking, this idea manifested primarily or expressed primarily in terms of taking care of the needy, hugely important expression of this value. So God says, commentary on it, God desires mercy. God says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Well, it doesn't mean don't sacrifice, because obviously that's part of the whole system, but he wants it to be motivated by love and goodness and a desire to do good. And I love this rabbinic quote from Midrash Tehillim. God desires not sacrifice. It's a kind of an ad lib or a play on Hosea 6. God desires not sacrifices, but hope. And I like to think that in that restaurant, there was just a little bit of hope for these two men that, wow, not everyone is a predator, not everyone is out to use me, but there can be people who respond to God. We do it imperfectly, but you try and do it, and I commend it to you. So, in conclusion, let me just encourage you all. Get into the habit of giving. It is the only way to live. Shabbat shalom, everyone.